trouble in your life. He'll bear your burdens and move all misery and strife. That's why we
come by faith. I don't know what you're coming by. It probably ain't been good if you ain't come by faith. Amen? Because it is faith that will get us through what we need to get through, but your faith has to be in the right object. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And you know that person it ought to be in is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all will get there in a little while. Amen?
Right.
I'm just so thankful that we have come this far by faith, and it was by faith that brought me to a point where I realized that I needed a Savior. Amen?
Amen?
And if I think back to in my own life, well, I came to that point in time in my life that I received Christ as my Savior. And my life has never been the same. Amen?
Amen.
And let me just say this as getting into my introduction here this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior, you're in the right place this morning. Because you can come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Because if you put your faith in him, he's faithful and he's just to forgive you of your sins.
Amen.
And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Amen?
Okay,
that you can have a home in heaven and be assured of it this morning. As we were this week, and we talked about earlier in the Sunday school hour, we were talking about how we went through these 15 years of celebrating Shining Light Baptist Church. We also, right after the 15th year anniversary, which was a tremendous time, we heard a great message from Dr. Bennett. And then we went right into the revival of time here at the church. And as we went into the revival, we were thinking about today, and as I shared in the Sunday school hour, I know it was hard for our pastor to leave and get on his way and go to New Jersey, but life and the trials and things that are coming in their life called him to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go and do that. But, you know, it's never a by accident that God allows things to happen in life. Nothing that happens in your life is taking God by surprise. And as I think about the revival that we went through, I asked the Sunday school class, what is it that you could look back through over the week or over Sunday if you weren't here for the revival? What did God speak to you about? And what did God deal with you about? And many gave different explanations as to what they went through and what God showed them. You know, it's amazing what the Word of God does and what the Word of God will do. You can read a passage of Scripture. You can hear a message preached from it. But, you know, it's something about being in a house of God and the Word of God, when it's open, what it does to a heart and life of a person.
That's right.
And as I think back, and I want to encourage you this morning, as we told them this morning, we want to look at Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and verse 2. And what we want to do this morning is look at it in such a way that we want to do what the Word of God is telling us that we ought to do in reference to that verse, because I believe that when God gave us the opportunity to be here for revival, it wasn't by accident. And if God spoke to your heart about something that you need to do, I want to encourage you today to do exactly what he says that he wants you to do. In other words, the title of the message or my thought even this morning was to prove it. If God spoke to you about it, then prove it. If God told you you ought to do something, prove it. Amen?
Amen.
He says in Romans chapter 12, and if you dare, he says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if he's spoken to your heart, then prove it. If he's telling you ought to do something, prove it. Amen. Now, here's the writer here is telling us, as we shared this morning, he's telling us about, he's beseeching these people that he's writing to. In other words, he's trying to drag them out now to do something because of what God has already done in their lives. He's trying to get them to do something that every one of us ought to do if we've been heaven bound, blood bought, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're on our way to heaven. We ought to be serving God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We ought to be serving God. We ought to be serving God.
Amen there, Pastor.
And if you're not serving God, heaven help you. Because
yep.
He says, I beseech you. In other words, he was given a proclamation here of them coming out and serving God. And not only was he given an here, but he's also given us an obligation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we are obligated to God to serve him because of his mercy in our lives. Not only do we see the obligation, but he's telling us that we ought to have an inspiration to serve God. And that therefore, we need to go back and see what it was therefore. And the therefore is that we ought to serve God because Paul's greatest desire in the hearts and lives of the people at Rome, what the people of Rome, that God, that they would be saved. And if you're here today, if you're saved, and you've truly been revived, that's something that God wants you to do. So I'm challenging you this morning to prove it. Prove it. Prove it by what you do. And I want to share this morning three things that I believe that we shared three this morning. There's three other things that we want to look at this morning from the Word of God when we're talking about what he's saying by proving it. There's some proving that needs to take place. If we're going to do what God would have us to do, amen? What he wants us to do, that we might do the will of God. And if you're here this morning, you know what the will of God is for you? The will of God is for you to get saved. If you're here and you don't know Christ the Savior, that is God's will for your life. It may be the first time you ever been in the church to hear a message that you might hear today. But what God wants you to do is make a decision. If you really believe him, prove it. Prove it by trusting him. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think about Pastor Bennett spoke about many things. And I think about how he gave this portrait as I shared this morning. He gave me this portrait of what my life was like before I got saved. And I think about it, all the things that I did, all the drugs and all of the drinking and all of those things. And maybe I wasn't a drunk. Maybe I didn't do all the horrible things that others did. But you know what? I came to a point in time in my life where I needed to trust Christ as my Savior. And Paul here wants us to do something. If we're going to serve God, there's something that every one of us ought to do. We ought to do the first thing that we ought to do is to not only that we ought to do, we ought to present our bodies to God. There's a presentation that ought to take place in a person's life. He wants your body. He says as a living sacrifice, present it to God that he might use it. I'm here now and I'm saved and I need to present myself to God. And I need to do it what? Willingly submit myself to God. And I'm saying here this morning, if you've been revived, if you heard these messages that Dr. Bennett was talking about, if you can see the portrait of your own life, think back to what God saved you from. What he saved you from. As he was saying earlier, he took you out of the pits of hell. Because that's where you were going before you got saved, if you are saved. And if you're not saved, let me say this in all kindness of, and I can say it. If you die and leave this world today, do you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? Because you're going to spend eternity one place or the other. It's going to be in the pearly gates of heaven, or it's going to be in a hell that God never intended for you to go to. Because he didn't intend for you to go there, he sent his son to die for you. That he might save you from that place. And let me say this, in all kindness as I can say it, because if you don't trust him, you don't know what will happen to you tomorrow.
Hey, Pastor.
Mrs. Dawson, her mother, she didn't know God was going to take her home the day he took her home. We got a call this morning. My wife got a text from a friend, or from her sister, about a friend of ours that passed away. I've been reminded this morning that there's somebody else hanging in the balance that may pass away. But you're here this morning and you're breathing. And you know what, though? When you walk out this door, you may not see it tomorrow. It could end this day. But if you're here this morning and you know Christ the Savior, God wants you to present your body a living sacrifice. In other words, he don't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. And if you're not saved, then you're dead in trespasses and sin. And you certainly can't live for him until you know him. And then you can become a living sacrifice that is holy, that is acceptable unto him, and which would be your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Present your bodies. And I think about it. As I was saying to this class this morning in the Sunday school hour, the present here is a dedication. Presenting your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And if you're here this morning, you're saved. Romans 6, verse 13, and you could turn back there just a few pages. He says, neither the yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yielding yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, if you're saved, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Because he can use you if you're willing to surrender to him. James 4 and verse 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he tells us as Christians in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, he says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. God gave you the life, God gave you the spirit, and you need to glorify him in this body that you have on this earth and to serve him. And this results in an action of asking a person to commit to serving God because of what he's done for you. Because you're not your own. You've been bought with the price. He paid the debt for your sin. And you ought to serve him. You ought to just do it. Because it's the reasonable thing that you ought to be able to do for the person who's done so much for you. This presentation would not happen automatically. I have to be willing to yield my body as an instrument that is willing to serve God. To excuse and say, you hear people say it all the time. I wasn't here in body, but I was here in spirit. Let me tell you something. If you ain't here in body, you can't be here in spirit. That's why you need to be in the house of the Lord. Because it's amazing to me how we can hear the word of God and what it does to a heart and to a life. You can hear the same message. You can hear the same scriptures read. And I guarantee you when God uses the word of God to speak to your heart, it's going to be different than what you heard before. Because that's how God works. That's how he works. And he wants to use us, but we have to present ourselves. We have to yield ourselves to God, a living sacrifice. You know, when it comes to living for God, we got to submit, but there's a sacrifice. A sacrifice is maybe I might have to give up something if I'm going to truly sacrifice to God. But you know what I found out when I got saved? Ain't nothing I had that wasn't worth sacrificing. There's nothing that I do that wasn't worth sacrificing for the glory and the honor of God. You can have all the money you want. You can have all the cars you want. You can have all the women you want. That won't last long. You can have all the things that this world offers you, but if you don't have Christ as Savior, let me tell you, you're going to leave this world one day and none of those things you can take with you. They're not going to benefit you. But you can get saved and have the Holy Spirit of God come in and dwell you, change your life, and give that life to God. He can do more with it than you ever could. If you were willing to surrender to him and you're willing to sacrifice. I don't regret not one thing that I gave up. I remember one day when I was in my office back in Germany, there was a young lady that used to come in my office every day. And she used to come in, and me and the guy that I worked for, we would be in there talking about how good God is and what he's doing. And she was just standing there, and she came in with tears in her eyes, and we were just talking about how good God was, and she wanted to get saved because she heard us talking about how good God was. There was another young man that stood in the doorway as I was sharing the gospel with her. He stood there, and after she got saved, he said, I want to get saved. Amen. Because they hear the gospel. Amen. And now, you know what? They have something that they could give to God, a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. Because if he don't indwell you, you can't sacrifice anything that will be pleasing and acceptable to God without the renewing of the Spirit of God in your life, to where it energizes you into a new life that you can give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can present your bodies, that living sacrifice, that's holy, that is acceptable unto God. And it is your reasonable service. It ought to be something that you just ought to do, because now I have a different obligation, and that is to share the gospel. I have a different obligation, and it is to preach the gospel. And the price of it is a sacrifice, meaning that you will put God first in your life. I tell you what, when I gave up that old life that I used to live, I tell you what, it wasn't much of a sacrifice. I wouldn't go back and trade it for nothing in the world. Because if I was to hold on to those things, I would run the risk of dying and going to hell. You may give up some things. You may miss some events. You may lose some friends. You know what? And I lost some friends along the way. But you know what? They don't want to be around somebody that's living for the Lord. And really, when they don't want to be around, you know what? They really ain't your friends no how. Amen?
Amen.
They really weren't. Living for God does not want you to be enthusiastic. Y'all said, boy, he's preaching, hollering, and screaming. You know what? When I preach the word of God, I get all excited about it. Because I love him. Because I tell you what, before I got saved, when I walked into the nightclub, they knew I was in there. When I walk into the house of God, I want you to know that I'm in the house of God. And when I preach the word of God, I want you to know that I'm excited about the word of God.
Amen.
Because that's what I ought to be. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I don't want to continue to live that life. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. I want to offer to him something that he can use, a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to him, because it pleased his son and it pleased his father that his son, Jesus Christ, would come and die on a cross for your sin and for mine. So there's a sacrifice that ought to be given. So prove it by giving your life to him. We shouldn't continue to live and yield our bodies, if we'll save us, instruments unto unrighteousness. In other words, I ought not continue to keep living the life I used to live. I ought to live a life under righteousness. Draw nigh to him and he would draw nigh to you. But not only do we see this presentation, but notice there's also a separation. Look at verse number 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holy means that I need to be separated, set apart for the use of God. And you know, most people, we want what God wants us to have, but we don't want to live a holy life. We don't want to live a separated life. We want to stay in the world, keep one foot in it. I won't even say one foot. A lot of times we want to keep the whole body still in the world. Because we think what we're losing and what we're giving up, we think that it is so important. But you can't present your bodies to God without presenting your mind to God. And because he wants our mind to be transformed by renewing of our mind, if you give him your body, you're going to give him your mind. And in your mind, you know that what you're doing is not right to God. when you're living in sin. You know that you're not right. But we live a separated life. We need to be set apart, holy and acceptable unto God. I remember when Isaac was being sacrificed, and God told his dad, Abraham, to take off your shoes because the ground that you stand on is holy ground. You can't stand in the presence of God with sin in your life because he won't allow sin in his presence. You have to be on holy ground, set apart. No vessel that God can use can be filled with filth and drugs and alcohol and all of these things that the world has to offer. You have to get rid of those things so that you can come to God and be that vessel that's honorable unto God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he would do the cleansing of us from all unrighteousness. If we confess it, if you're his son, if you're his daughter, because I think back to this time in the scriptures where Paul is writing, I remember that well. Pastor Kraft took the Bible and he showed me. He showed me in Romans 3:10, for there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous in the eyes of God. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what all always meant? All. All of us have come short of what God intended for us to have. And he tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Think back, because he wanted them to remember where he pulled them from. If he remember what he did to you, he wants you to separate now. He don't want me to be the same. He don't want me to do the same things I used to do. He don't want me to talk the same way I used to talk. He don't want me to walk the same way I used to walk. He wants me to be different. He wants you to be different. Prove it by being different. Separation unto God. It is reasonable. Holy and separated unto God. Holy and separated unto God. Separation. Separation. Turn with me. If you would, I want to show you something this morning. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter number 2. Because if we're going to be vessels that's honorable unto God, and we're going to prove it by what we say, we're going to prove it by what we do, there are some things that we need to denounce in our lives. There are some things that we need to denounce. There are some things that will defile us. There are some things that will defile us, but there are some things that not only will they defile us, but the duration of it is not going to last. Notice here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, and he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of what? The world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father, or the will of God, abideth forever. If I'm going to surrender my life and give my body a sacrifice unto God, I need to denounce myself from the world. The world here represents human life. Apart from or alienated from God, as hostile to God, and earthly things that seduce, give subduction away from God. And he tells me that I need to not love it. In other words, I need to restrain my affections to a different way now. The restraining of my affection. Love not the world. Paul has said, I need to set my affections on things above and not on the earth, as he says in Colossians 3 and verse 2. Many things are set his affection on. Many people will set their affections on this world, may not ever want to give those things up. But they need to take their devotions from those things and their affections and their interests. It needs to be on God. Denounce here has the idea also of revealing the affection that the person has. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if you say you love God, then prove it. Because your affections ought to be different than what they used to be. It's amazing to me how people say that they know the Lord, they get saved, but they never stop living for the world. They keep having desires for the world. Their affections is in the wrong place. It's in the world. And that is not of God. See, the world wants you to think that you're missing out on something. If you love the world, you reveal that where your love is, as Brother Hall was saying, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart would be. And when you love the world, that's where your world would be. That's where your love would be. You know, skipping church on Sunday shows where we are when it comes to Christianity. Takes three to thrive. I learned that years ago. Three to thrive means that you got to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Unless you're providentially hindered from being there, the house of God is where you ought to be if you want to live for God. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it by where you spend your time. Here, the defilement here has the idea as well in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Notice what it says. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. It is not God blessing you with those things, because that's not of God, if you want to look at it that way. The unholy character here, characteristics of the world, is the lust of the eye and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. The world honors the evil desires of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride. Think about television. Every time it comes on, it's not promoting the things of God. It's promoting the things of the world. And that's what they want to advertise, to draw us away from the things of God. Even a Christian can be drawn away by the things of the world, which the world promotes. The world system is not here to encourage you as a Christian. The world system has blinded the eyes of those that don't know Christ as Savior. So I don't need God. I can do what I want to. I can live in the way I want to. You know what that is? That is the pride of life. And those are the things that he's talking about. Let me tell you something. That's not of God. That's of the world. And some of you may be sitting here this morning and say, but I'd be glad when this sweat guy sweating, running down off him, be glad when he get quiet and shut up. But that's okay. But don't let your pride keep you from getting saved. Don't shoot the messenger, but hear the message. God wants to save your soul. Because the only one here that knows where you're going to spend eternity is you. And that's you. And that's you. And that's you. You're the only one. And you don't have to do it for me. You need to do it for your own benefit. Because if you do it truly with a desire to know who God is and want to spend eternity with him, you do it because you realize that you're on your way to a devil's hell, and that ain't where I want to go. I'm going to tell you something. This week's revival, I'll never forget it, because God spoke to my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest joy that I had during a revival, I was standing right there by my wife. That's my lovely wife sitting in that back row in the corner. Y'all look at her. She looks good. Amen. The invitation was given. Heads were bowed and eyes were closed. I had my eyes closed. And this little tug came on my pants leg or jacket. I looked down. And it was this little blonde-headed boy with blue eyes. And I said, Joe, what do you want? I want to get saved. He said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. 4 years old. He heard the word of God. He realized that he was a sinner. He knew he was on the way to a devil's hell. At 4 years old, he knew that's not where he wanted to spend his life. And there are people here today that are older than him. And still on their way to hell. Amen. Except a man comes in childlike faith. He can never see the kingdom of God. But this little boy tugged on my shirt, on my jacket. I want to get saved. I want to get saved. I took him to the room. Took the Bible. And showed him how he could be saved. First thing he did, he had to realize that he's a sinner. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, he had a little bit of a problem with that. I said, Joe, you ever told a lie? No, I sit on the couch and they were the one telling the story. Y'all get that in a minute. I said, okay. Let me explain to you this way. What does this scripture say? Romans 6:23. It says, all have sinned. All means who?
All.
Are you part of that all? He goes, yeah. I said, and the Bible says that all have sinned. Then what does that make you? The light came on. It makes me a sinner. He's 4 years old. And he understood that. Let me ask you this today. Are you a sinner? Yes. Do you need to be saved? You answer it. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And I showed him that scripture. The wages mean that Jesus already paid for it. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. So this gift, Joel, you need to have this gift of God. A gift is something that you don't work for, but by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast about what you did for God. The only way that you can do to satisfy a holy God is accept Jesus Christ, because he's the one that already paid for it. I didn't say it to him in that tone. But that's the word I shared with him. Romans 10:9. We go over there. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. They understand that on the cross, his blood was shed to pay for my sin. When he died and they buried him, means my sins, because I trusted in what he did, my sins are buried with him. They can no longer be held against me because they've been buried with him. And when God raised him from the dead is a picture of the new life that you can have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he wants to give to you. Romans 10:9. Then it goes on. And I said, there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Do you want to be saved? Do you realize you're a sinner? And it goes on and says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you got to call on it. You got to confess it. Separation. Separate yourself from this world and the things of this world. Because he's telling us that we need to denounce some things, and there's some things that are going to happen. This world is going to pass away. Mm-hmm. But he that doeth the will of the Father shall abide forever. Because God's will for your life today, if you're not saved, is that you would give your life to Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for your life if you're not saved. That's what it was for Joel. That's what it was for me. What about you? This morning. I hadn't planned on doing all this morning. Oh, Lord, help me. But it's needful this morning. Amen? And when you think about it, the duration here that he's talking about, what is going to happen? Verse number 17, and the world and the world system and all of these things that they want you to lust after and lust of the flesh and fulfilling the things of the flesh and the lust of the eye, which seems so appealing, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. He abides forever. And if you know him, prove it by separating yourselves from this world. And if you don't know him, you need to come to him and separate yourself from this world. But I want us to turn back over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12. There's some couple other things I want to share with you this morning. If I can get myself back here on point here. Not only do we see him talking about the importance of separation, but there's a separation that needs to take place. But notice in verse 12, and be not verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world system draw you away from the things of God if you hear and know Christ as Savior. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation that needs to take place in a person's life. We need to live a transformed life. The transform here, it means that transforming, that I don't love the world anymore. I'm not going to continue to do these things. The transformation that needs to take place in a person's life. It needs to start in the mind. Because if we be honest with ourselves, for years, my mind was totally darkened from the things of God. And when Pastor Kraft took the Bible and I started hearing the preaching of the Word of God, there's something happened. And I realized that I needed to change. And once I got saved, my mind needed to change. I needed to renew my thinking, my behavior, and all of those things, because I had been darkened by this world for so long. Because the carnal mind that we have is enmity against God, for it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh that we are already talking about, we can't please God. So we must be brought back to a place where we think godly things. And that only takes place by renewing our mind. And it's a constant thing that we need to do. Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7 says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall renew your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It's a continuing process of what needs to take place in a person's life when they get saved, if we want to be on the right road. So what we do is pleasing to God. There's a transformation. It's a lifelong process. I think about it this way. The Bible tells me that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I need to be in the Word of God if I want my mind, my thinking, and this process that needs to take place in my life. I need to be in the Word of God every day to change my life. Because I don't want to continue. I need to transform my mind. And the only way it's going to be transformed is the beginning into the Word of God. That it would do the changing. That it would do the changing. So that I can present my body a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God. It is my reasonable service. So that I don't be conformed to this world, but I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. This transformation. The Bible tells us, being confident of this very thing, which I am, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If we allow it to transform our mind, he has just begun the work in my life. He has just begun to work in my life. Because what I want to do is to prove it. Prove it that I'm different. Prove it that a life given to God will work. So how am I going to do that? I need to know God's will for my life. Now that I'm a Christian, I need to know God's will for my life. What is God's will for my life? I'm going to do it this way, and I may not finish all of it. But I'm going to have somebody to stand for me. Jeremiah, come here. You three handsome young men, come up here for a minute. Ain't they good looking? Amen. Look at their parents, right? That one is really handsome. Oh, he's a stud here. Amen. He's going to keep all of them straight. I want you to think about it this way. Y'all spread out so y'all have some room to work. Because you're going to do something. You're going to be what you do. Is going to be in God's will. The first thing that I need to do, if I'm going to be in God's will, and I'm going to do what God would have me to do, is I need to know what the word of God reveals to me that is God's will. So the will of God is revealed to me in the word of God. This is a good looking word of God. Amen. He was in the world and the world knew him not. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The revealed word of God, or the revealed will for my life, is found in the word of God. So if the revealed word of God, or the revealed for my life, is revealed in God's word, then I need to be in God's word so that I can find what the revealing that God wants to show me that I need in my life. Amen?
Amen.
So if God wants to show me what he wants in my life, and you know what, the thing about the revealed word of God, God reveals to us just what we need to do. If you want to know where you ought to be on Sunday, you can find it in the word of God. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another so much the more as you see the days approaching. See, the word of God tells me I ought to be in God's house. If you ought to know how you ought to treat your mama, the word of God tells you, young man, amen? Honor thy mother and thy father. This is the first commandment. Amen? So the revealed word of God. So when we get to the revealed word of God and we're in the word of God, that God will reveal to us some things that we ought to do. So you think about it this morning. What would God have you to do? If you being in the word of God, he'll tell you what you ought to do. And that will be pleasing and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we see the revealed word of God. Then we have the special will of God. You say, now what's special about the word of God? The thing that's special about the word of God that we find in the word of God is how God reveals to us what's in the word of God, and it becomes special. It becomes special when we obey it. See, the Bible tells we shouldn't be just hearers of the word, but we need to be what?
Doers
of the word. So the revealed word of God will show me the special things that's in the word of God that only can be found when we're in the word of God, so I know how special it is that I will know how to obey it. And that's God's will for your life. So that's two of them. You're special. He's good looking too.
Amen.
He is special. So not only do we have the revealed word of God and we have the special word of God, but notice what else we have. We have the acceptable will of God. Acceptable will of God. What's acceptable? Go back here. It's acceptable because I'm in the word of God. Now I have a special word of God. And because I have the revealed word, reading it, obeying it, it's acceptable to God. So that is the acceptable will of God for my life. Boy, that's good. See, it ain't hard to know what God's will is for your life. Give me that signal. Okay? Let me get one more. Where's another young man? You come on up here, handsome. You come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, yeah, you. Come on. Move down a little bit. The revealed word, the special, acceptable. Amen? It's acceptable. And then we have the good will of God. Boy, that's good. Amen? It needs to be good because it's just good to do. Amen? It's good for me to love my wife. It's good for me to be in the house of God. It's good for me to love my neighbors. It's good for me to read my word. It's good for me to help somebody that needs help. It's good for me to be a witness. So that's good. That's the good will of God. I think I got it out of order. It needs to be good. So it can be acceptable. See, it's good in the eyes of God when I do good. It's good in the eyes of God when the revealed word tells me what I need to do and I get it from reading and then I obey it and then I do the good that I learned from the revealed, obeying, doing, and then it's acceptable unto God. See, prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it by doing it. Because that's God's will for my life. That's God's will for my life as a Christian. Time's running out. I'm going to keep y'all chomping at the bit.
Amen, Pastor.
Give you one more. And then we have the perfect will of God. Perfect. Come on, Jeff.
Amen.
Let me get my assistant pastor.
Amen.
To the assistant.
To the assistant. Amen.
The perfect will of God. Well, that's good. See, all of this. Reveal. Secret. Good. Acceptable. All of that stuff there. That's good. That's the perfect will of God for your life. See, that ain't hard to figure it out. If I stay in his word, I obey it, it's good to do it, it's acceptable, and that's perfect.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants. That's what God wants you in your life. The acceptable will of God. Well-pleasing to God. But you can't do these things and be acceptable and pleasing until you've done the one thing. And the one thing is, you have to be his child. And see, the only thing that you can do acceptable to God this morning, if you're not his child, is to receive his son as your Savior. See, that's God's will for your life this morning. And if you want to be in God's will for your life, prove it. Prove it. We'll let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. See, the Bible says God's will is that no man would die and go to a devil's hell. That's not his will for you. His will is that all men would come to repentance. His will is that all would be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know where it is? It's revealed in his word. So if it's revealed to me and I'm not his child, And if I want to do what would be pleasing in the first place, I need to make the first step. Accepting what he's saying that can only get me to heaven. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's revealed in his word. He's willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's in the revealed word of God. And you have to obey that before you can get to doing any of this that would be good. Amen. That would be acceptable. And the perfect will of God. Thank you. Thank you, young man. I'll get y'all back tonight.
Amen.
There's two more that we're going to share tonight. Today, do it. Do it. If you've been revived, then your life ought to be different. Do it. Prove it. Prove it by what you do. Prove it. That's the thought for today. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Separation. The transformation that takes place in a life who surrendered to God. Because that is his acceptable, well-pleasing to God for us as Christians. What about you this morning? Where are you at? See, nobody knows but you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm just trying to help you out. Because you know what? Somebody did it for me. Somebody shared it with me. Somebody shared it with me. And there are many here just like you who sit and maybe weren't saved. And when the invitation was given, I knew in my heart of hearts that day, 1986, December the 6th, 1986, my wife and I were sitting at our kitchen table. And Gary Kraft, Pastor Kraft, who's one of our missionaries, took the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. And I trusted Christ. It was revealed in his word to me what I needed to do. What about you this morning? Maybe you're here as a Christian this morning. And you're not living the way that you ought to. Because you do have an obligation. And you ought to be inspired. It ought to be an inspiration in you this morning to live for God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy separation. Separated unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed and the renewing of your mind, the way you think, the direction that you're going. And he'll meet you there. He'll meet you there. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to ask Miss Tasha to play a hymn of invitation. I want to pray as the music begins to play. Father, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house this morning. And Lord, I know it's not of my ability. It's only of you. God, I pray that each one here this morning that's under the sound of my voice would have a testimony this morning of knowing without any doubt or reservations, they're 100% sure if they would die, they go to heaven. I'm going to have heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. You have that testimony this morning. Can you just slip your hands up? You can put them right back down. If you're here this morning and you lift your hands and say, I know without a doubt that I'm on my way to heaven. Can you slip your hands up as a testimony to the saving grace that's in Jesus Christ? I see those hands. You can put them down. And maybe you're here this morning. And you just be honest with yourself. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. But if you're here this morning and you could not slip your hand up, I want you to slip your hand up now and say, Pastor White, I'm not sure if I die. I'm not 100% sure that if I die, I go to heaven. I see that hand. You slip your hand up. Maybe someone else here would join that one person. I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. I see that hand. Maybe there's someone else here this morning. Just be honest with yourself. I'm not going to come to you. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for you. My prayer won't get you to heaven, but my prayer will that God would work in your heart, that you would be honest before God. If you're not 100% sure that if you die, you go to heaven. Two have already raised their hands. Anybody else would join those two? I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you for being honest. Is there anyone else here like that? If you couldn't raise your hand, just be honest. I'm going to pray for you. Just be honest with yourself. Anyone else here like that? You couldn't slip your hand up. Okay, maybe that's true. But I want to pray for you. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And what we do is at invitation time, if you raise your hand and you're not sure that heaven is your home, if you come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Pastor White, I want someone to take the Bible and show me how I can be saved. We'll do that. Or maybe you're here this morning as a Christian, and maybe you haven't presented your bodies the way that you ought to the Lord. The altar is open for you this morning as well. We're going to let the invitation play, and I'm going to pray that God would just work. God, I pray that you just work in the hearts of those that raised their hand and said that they're not 100% sure. God, I just pray that you give them the courage to let someone take the Bible and show them how they could be saved. And maybe there may be some here this morning that didn't have the courage to raise their hand, but in their heart of hearts, they know that they're not saved. God, I pray that you work in those lives as well. And maybe you're here this morning and you would give testimony and say that you know Christ to save you, but maybe you haven't really proved him by doing the acceptable, well-pleasing will of God. Maybe you haven't been in the Word of God. Maybe you haven't been obeying. And it would just be good, just doing good. But it's not acceptable to God. But you do want to be in his perfect will. That's how you get there. And that's how you stay. We're going to let the piano play just a little bit longer. And no one respond. That's okay. God knows your heart. But you know, responding takes a lot to do that. Because when I think about Joel, when he came, he wasn't sitting beside me. He was sitting on the other side of the pew. It took a lot of courage for him, I believe, in his heart of hearts. He was serious enough that he would walk over to where I was and grab me by the coattail and say he wants to be saved. Don't let pride stand in your way. A four-year-old could do it. I'm sure a grown adult person or teenager or a man or a woman or a boy or girl, you could do the same thing. We're not here to embarrass you. We want to help you. But we won't force you to do anything. Father, bless now this invitation time. Help those that need to be helped. Meet the needs as only you can. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done and for what you're going to do. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right. Thank you all for being in attendance this morning. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let's do it again. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. He certainly is. Amen. Thank you, God. I'm going to ask Brother Joe, he's one of our deacons here, to come and just close us in a word of prayer. And do continue to pray for our pastor as he and his family are away from us. And we do pray for May, it is, right? You continue to pray for May. She is not doing well, and I know our sister here is going to be flying out here or going out today or tomorrow to be with family there. As she may be on her deathbed, but do pray for them. Pray for her and her husband because it's his mother. And we do pray for her son as well and her girl, his girlfriend. We just pray that God would work in their lives as well. And we trust in God to continue to work the remainder of the day. Do come back tonight as we'll try to finish this up and pray that God would use this time to be a blessing to us. It's been a blessing to me to have you with us this morning. And again, those that are visiting, we appreciate you being here this morning.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, we just come to you now and just say thank you, dear Lord, for the message that you placed on Pastor White's heart, dear Lord, Father. Just truly helping us to see, dear Lord, how to be in your will, Lord. Not just in your will, but Lord, being holy and acceptable, dear Lord, and doing what's perfect in your sight, dear Lord, Father. I just pray and ask, dear Lord, that you just work on the hearts of those, Lord, who raise their hands saying they're not sure about their salvation, dear Lord, Father. I pray, dear Lord, that you give them the courage and the boldness that they need, Lord, to ask someone, dear Lord, Father, how they can be sure about their salvation, dear Lord, Father. I pray and ask, dear Lord, that you just continue to be with our pastor and Miss Dawson and her family, dear Lord, that you just continue to give them the peace that they need, dear Lord. I pray for the services on Monday, Lord, that you just use Pastor in a special way, dear Lord, so that souls might be saved, dear Lord, through this. We pray for May, dear Lord, and her family, and that you just continually, dear Lord God, to have your way in that situation as well, dear Lord, and be with those who will be traveling out, dear Lord. I just pray and ask, dear Lord, Father, that you just truly help us, dear Lord, Father, to see how easy it is, dear Lord, to come to you, dear Lord, and to have salvation. But first, dear Lord, Father, we have to understand that we have to humble ourselves, dear Lord. And I just pray and ask, dear Lord, you just, for those, Lord, who raise their hands and for those who have doubts, dear Lord and Father, that you give them no peace, dear Lord, that you help them to get this question solved, dear Lord and Father, so that they can truly, Lord, be your child and to live for you. I pray and ask, dear Lord, you give us traveling grace and mercies as we make our ways home from here, dear Lord, and that you help us be back here tonight, Lord, to continue to hear what you've laid on Pastor White's heart, dear Lord. We love you, dear Lord and Father, for what you did on the cross, and we just thank you so much, dear Lord. We ask these all the blessings in your Son. Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen.